You are welcome.
And thank you, Johnny, for all that sunshine and those slides. Oh my goodness. I don't want to think that's the only sun we're going to get, but I'm losing faith, I have to say. Good morning, everyone. My name is Susan, and welcome to Unity Center for Positive Living. We will start this morning with the daily word, and that is comfort. I am comforted by the embrace of divine love. When someone dear to me transitions, I may feel fearful and alone. I do not hide from my feelings or seek to numb them, even if I feel tempted. Grief has come to pass, but it cannot pass until I acknowledge and feel it. Opening to all my heart is holding, I feel a presence far stronger than pain. Even in deepest grief, divine love is strong within me, lifting me, making my feelings bearable. As I feel comforted by this love, I become increasingly aware of the peace and strength in my heart. Even in my grief, I am grateful to trust the healing comfort of divine love. It blesses me today and will be an ongoing presence as I need it. My love for those I lost is eternal and unchanging, just like God's love for me. And from Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we will sing Surely the Presence while Dallas and Linda lead us, and please join us.
See this morning if what is expressed is what is known is what you know. This is what and know that we are all connected. The universe reflected in each shining part. Everywhere I go, I recognize the faces, all of my relations in this one heart. All I need is already looking through these eyes, nearer than my breathing, closer than hands and feet. We are dreaming together all the gifts of heaven and earth.
Yeah. Aye.
Hi, Fred.
Aye, I finally made it back.
No, this one's a thumb. Only four fingers. You better get your eyes checked again.
Morning, Terry.
Joanne, hello. Come on.
Morning.
You're very welcome.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, unfortunately, not the way I wanted to.
How are you?
Nice.
Terry, always good to see you.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a fire.
If you do get the one, you have to get 30 days, and you can have your six.
Good fire, John.
There you go. Happy belated birthday.
Hey, good to see you, my friend. All right.
Dallas, I'm back. Penny. That's good.
Thank you. I had to try to measure up to, Katie Martin. He's a wonderful musician. He's a really good musician.
I just let the energy of the song take me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's already working.
Okay.
This is Terry. Okay. You're very welcome. Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
One more here.
One more.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Wow. So good. You did. Oh. Yeah, he's good.
Hey, John, don't know any about him already.
Aye.
All right, it's time for announcements. The only thing I know, Penny has one. Let me tell the one I know before I forget it.
Me first.
I'm older.
All right.
Oh.
Well, because I might
forget. Oh.
This afternoon is the meeting of Circle America. All the Zoom information, the link, and all the info is in the email that Joanne sent, so you can check that out.
And on our website.
And on our website, unityofcentralia.net.
Yes.
And Penny.
Well, I just wanted to say that I came into the church this morning and asked my friend John here how he was feeling. And he said, I feel really good, couldn't be better.
Wow.
And that's a cause for celebration.
Yeah.
Yes. It is. Yay. Are there any other announcements?
Totally not church related. Totally not church related. However, if you enjoy music, the college is gearing up for their end of term concerts and such. The only one that I personally know of is on the 13th. It's a Thursday. That's because the choir is that evening, and so great to sing.
Oh, yay. And Centralia College and Corbett Theater. And all of those music concerts are in that week. And there's the band and the jazz folks.
And they're all free.
This and the that. And they're amazing.
I believe the choir one starts at 7. I think they all pretty much start around 7.
Yeah. Check it out.
lots of free talent.
Yes. Any other announcements? Okay. Well then, let's say our unity statement. Okay, if you would join me, please. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service. Our oneness in God. Sorry about that. I've only said that about 7,000 times. Okay, so our song of joy today is It's in Every One of Us. And you may stand if you would like to. And Dallas and Linda are going to lead us.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we repeat the last verse twice.
Yes.
Okay.
The last bridge. So you may have noticed there are no verses, so we're just going to cycle these choruses. We think it's a little easier this way.
Thank you.
you. It is in every one of us. Our reading today is going to be given by Joanne.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to read from Eckhart Tolle's, or Tolle, depending on your pronunciation, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. How many watched Oprah and Eckhart do this years ago, live on TV for about 10 weeks? It was wonderful, wasn't it? It was a long time ago. At least 20 years ago. I know when it first came out, I was like, oh my God, it's happening. The world's awakening. I was crying. My kids came in. What's the matter? I said, I'm so happy. Anyway, I'm just going to read to the very end. The new earth is no utopia. Is the notion of a new earth not just another utopian vision? Not at all. All utopian visions have this in common. The mental projection of a future time when all will be well, we will be saved, there will be peace and harmony, and the end of our problems. There have been many such utopian visions. Some ended in disappointment, others in disaster. At the core of all utopian visions lies one of the main structural dysfunctions of the old consciousness, looking to the future for salvation. The only existence the future actually has is as a thought form in your mind. So when you look to the future for salvation, you are unconsciously looking to your own mind for salvation. You are trapped in form, and that is ego. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, writes the biblical prophet. The foundations for a new earth is a new heaven, the awakened consciousness. The earth, external reality, is only its outer reflection. The arising of a new heaven, and by implication a new earth, are not future events that are going to make us free. Nothing is going to make us free because only the present moment can make us free. That realization is the awakening. Awakening as a future event has no meaning because awakening is a realization of presence. So the new heaven, the awakened consciousness, is not a future state to be achieved. A new heaven and a new earth are sitting within you at this moment. And if they are not arising at this moment, they are no more than a thought in your head and therefore not arising at all. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Heaven is right here in the midst of you. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a prediction that to this day few people have understood. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In modern versions of the Bible, meek is translated as humble. Who are the meek or the humble, and what does it mean that they shall inherit the earth? The meek are egoless. They are those who have awakened to their essential true nature as consciousness and recognize that essence in all others, all life forms. They live in the surrounded state, they lived in the surrounded state that so feel their oneness with the whole and the source. They embody the awakened consciousness that is changing all aspects of life on our planet, including nature, because life on Earth is inseparable from the human consciousness that perceives and interacts with it. That is the sense in which the meek will inherit the Earth. A new species is arising on the planet. It is arising now, and you are it.
Nice.
Hey.
Very nice.
Thank you, Joanne. We are it. Our meditation song this morning is Morning Prayer, and you may remain seated.
While we meditate, I just wanted to thank our technicians. I remember when in the middle of COVID, everybody was learning to use Zoom. Now, there's hardly a mistake. It sounds beautiful. Before the craziness
I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way. And today is the fourth Sunday, and we will be saying our prayer together, followed by the Alleluia. Mother, Father, Principal, Spirit Divine, who dwells in all, we are grateful for your infinite blessings. As we align with divine will to co-create heaven on earth, you fulfill all our needs. We embrace all of life, knowing you also embrace all of life. We know you are always present. Your love, power, and presence are right here, right now, and always, and so it is.
Please sing with us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And now it's time for our speaker. As most of you know, we have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. And today, on the fourth Sunday, Eileen Selick will bring us her message.
Words, story, message, whatever we're going to call it today.
It's all good. Okay, let's see. Push this button. All right, did it work?
Yes.
Hot did be. Okay. So the trip to Bethlehem, the traditional Christmas story. Yes, we were talking about Christmas, and we were talking about Christmas all year long as a guide to spiritual transformation. And this is based on a book, this one, by Hypatia Hasbrock. So if you're not familiar, I did attempt to cover the book in its entirety in November in honor of Advent. It did not work out so well. I hear it was really good. I felt it was really kind of a mess, so I'm breaking it down. And so this is what we are looking at. Okay, make it go. There we go. All right, so we have some foundations for this journey. And we're just going to re-hit these pretty much every time we get together. So we have the foundations. Bible stories have three levels of meaning. You should know this by now, but just in case, we have the literal meaning, the moral, and the metaphysical. Okay. Yeah.
They can try, but they can't stop us.
There we go. Okay. Okay. All right, so where was, oh yes, okay, so. We are remembering that we are on a journey. See, I'm just going to pick up where I left off, right?
Yep.
We are on a journey, and this is a very personal journey, and we are all in a constant state of moving. Most any journey is a constant state of moving. Success is not a linear path, and neither is travel. And so we are constantly moving forward, circling back, and then moving on through life. And we're going to accept the process and wherever we happen to be in it. There we go. Okay. Herod. That's an ugly Herod, isn't it? Yeah. All right. So last month we talked about stage one, and stage one was renunciation, weakening the egocentricity, the Herod within. So Herod represents egocentric ego. And egocentricity is defined as limited in outlook or concern to one's own activities or needs, otherwise known as a self-centered person. And so we all had to kind of take a few minutes to look at ourselves and realize where in those moments we are kind of self-centered and accept them and let them go. So that was stage one. Stage two, so you have to see my slides because I love this picture. I love this image. So stage two, we're going to follow the star, and this is wisdom. So there are many metaphysical meanings. So I mentioned, you know, unity, we're talking metaphysical meanings and lots of symbolism. And probably where I really fell down flat the most the first time this particular topic was in just the sheer amount of symbolism that there is in the traditional Christmas story. And so having the ability to break it down, we're going to take a look at that symbolism one month at a time. So in this story alone, we have several pieces of symbolism. The first being the star. So the star represents ideas that come from God, not from human reasoning. The star represents truth. The star represents the compelling conviction of the Christ idea and spiritual aspiration.
And it's important to note that only the Magi see the star. Only the wise in the Christmas story see the star. Speaking of the Magi, it's a Greek word that translates literally to wise men. They were knowledgeable in many fields, and they were usually astrologers. And only the Magi see the star, because only inner wisdom can form a conviction of the inner Christ. So it is only when we become knowledgeable within that we can seek the Christ. The camel has its own piece in this story, added to indicate that the wise men had traveled from far, far away. Not a galaxy far, far away, just far, far away. The camel symbolizes strength, endurance, and perseverance. We have the East. The East in itself is a symbol. I had never thought of a direction on the compass to be symbolic, but hey, we have the rising sun in the East. The East is an enduring symbol of God, the primordial light. And in this story, it symbolizes the inner spiritual realm. The number three, all right? So numbers and colors, they have meaning too. And in this particular story, the number three is the number for spiritual synthesis. Stands for the spirit, the soul, and the body. The completion of an inner spiritual process, creation and manifestation, and the mind idea expression, Trinity as well. So we have the number three. All right, the 12 powers. Raise your hand if you've heard about the 12 powers. That's right, the 12 powers. So in unity, we recognize the 12 powers of man. We believe that when developed, these powers or these faculties can lead to a life of unspeakable joy and glory. These powers are represented in the 12 months of the year, the 12 disciples of Christ, and by 12 colors, as well as many other things that symbolize these powers. For example, we have enjoyed our purple candle that we're hoping will make it through the rest of our service today, because she has burned down teeny tiny. I have faith she'll make it. As a representation of the power of power, and the disciple Philip in the month of May. So May, we have purple, we have the power of power, we have the disciple of Philip, yes, yes. And so there are 12 stages in this journey. Therefore, each of those stages is represented by a power. This particular power is wisdom. And for wisdom, we're going to bust out my yet another prop. It's not really a prop. It's my favorite Bible. If you want to know more about Bibles, I'm willing to talk about that pretty much anytime. If you know, you know I have a slight obsession. All right, so we're taking a look at Proverbs, right? Yeah, Proverbs. Proverbs 2. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. So we have some fabulous words on wisdom in there. Wisdom is defined by Hypatia Hasbrouck as the ability to discern the best and most godlike way to make use of knowledge and to judge on the basis of principle, righteously and impartially. I also want to point out that she says that wisdom is a feminine trait. I think that's important to note. Probably not fair to say why, but yeah. Stage two takes place before the traditional Christmas story begins. Now, in our traditional Christmas story, we have the three wise men, but it actually begins prior to the story because they first see the star. They're saying months before, Mary is actually approached and learns that she's going to bear the Christ. And they say that, and she explains that the reason why we know that it happened months prior is because Herod declares that all male children 2 years old and younger are to be killed. So you've got quite a span there of time, not just recent. So stage two takes place before the traditional story begins. The Magi see the star in the east long before, months before Mary learns she would give birth to the Christ. And it's important to know that this happens first, because we have to find this inner wisdom before we can actually embark on our journey to find our Christ. We have to actually believe that the Christ is there to be found. So when something stirs our inner magi to action, the mystical trip to Bethlehem begins. We move in consciousness from the murky notion of ourselves as mortal, limited creatures, isolated from one another and from God, towards the bright view of ourselves as eternal, unlimited spiritual beings, inseparably united with one another and with God. And it's when we get to that point that we can start our journey. Mystical experiences, they take place within our minds and our hearts. We're familiar with the things that happen in our mind, the law of mind, action, and all that jazz, right? So it should not be a surprise that we can actually expedite this journey through meditation. And this piece of wisdom, actually the key piece with wisdom is in meditation. So this particular chapter in our lovely book lays out this whole process for meditation and various topics for meditation. And so we are going to take a good amount of time here to go through this meditation process. Are you ready? Can you do this with me? Okay. All right. So first things first, sit comfortably in your space. Do what you can to keep your back straight, arms and legs uncrossed. And ladies and gentlemen, friends, close your eyes. We're going to take 10 breaths, focusing on the breathing. Just breathing. No need to change our breathing. Just 10 nice breaths in and out. Now for the next series of breaths, when you inhale, you will imagine a white or iridescent light entering through the crown of your head. You're going to hold that breath for a moment, and then imagine the light increasing and radiating through your entire being while you hold that breath. belly, exhale while imagining the light radiating from you out into the world. And repeat that process another 10 times. Envision that light filling you from the crown of your head, increasing through your entire being, and then exhale it out into the world around you. The next series of breaths. As we breathe in, we're going to try and think of nothing at all. If you have a hard time with that, think and focus on the word nothing as you breathe in. And as you breathe out, focus on the word star. Nothing. Nothing. Star. Nothing. Star. Nothing. Star. It is a cloudless night, and the sky is filled with stars. You stand on a high, high hill with two robed companions. You are magi. You decipher messages written by God in the patterns of the stars. This night, you watch as the constellation of the Jews rises on the eastern horizon. Within it is a point of light you have never seen before. To you, the new star heralds the birth of a new king, one who will rule the world as the agent of the one God. You focus upon the rising point of light as it glows, and that glow brightens. The light radiates and streams into the center of your very being. Its cool brilliance dispels all darkness, and you see what you need to see. The light reveals all that you need to know about yourself and the way you must travel. In silence, you rest secure, knowing that the light makes all things clear. Now again, as you inhale, imagine there is a white light entering through the crown of your head. Hold your breath, increasing and radiating through your entire being. And exhale while imagining the light radiating from you and out into the world. Thank you. As you return to this time and this space, gradually become aware of your body, and your surroundings, and allow your eyes to flutter open, giving thanks for this experience.
Thank you. And now we will take a few moments in the silence to absorb and reflect on the message, to consider the idea of wisdom in our personal journey and the meditation ideas. It's time for our healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, you can speak out their name or hold it quietly in your hearts. Members of our church have requested that we send out healing prayers and energy to all people and animals displaced by war and natural disasters. The members of our community who struggle to meet basic human needs, those we have lit candles for this morning. And I would like to thank Penny for her announcement this morning and talking about John Clark feeling so terrific this morning. We continue to pray for John and Dixie and Hallie and other folks in our family here that we are aware of needing healing prayers, and it's powerful. It works. So, anyone that you'd like us to bring attention to, you could mention them now.
Ready.
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now, opportunity to give. We are so grateful to be the spirit of generosity in giving of our time, talent, and treasure. We welcome each of these gifts from you as a member of our spiritual community. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offerings in our hands and hearts. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am.
Jerry.
So if you would join me, please, in the blessing of thanks. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And together, let's say our prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And we will sing our peace song, and if you would stand and form a circle while you're getting in position, I want to take an opportunity to thank Eileen for her continuing journey to Bethlehem, for Dallas and Linda for the music, Johnny for the great slides, Joanne for the reading, Tom for the tech setup and all that. And next week, Dr. Daria Funches will be our speaker. And please join us downstairs afterwards for some food and fellowship. I was going to say fun, but.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Every friend.